This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, save him, Alpha. This is Al Jimmy Hart.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE.
This is Matt Hardy.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Bojo.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And Andy C.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host,
are there any assholes in the building?
Tim Stein.
The head asshole in charge.
That boy is an asshole.
Mace.
Close the raisin. Keep my shorts.
Widow.
Hey, yo.
And the Omega
of the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
And happy holidays to everyone listening out there. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, leading a very small cast of misfits tonight. All we have tonight is Mace.
Meh.
Meh, indeed. And Mr. Tim Stein.
Meh.
Okay, Fran Drescher, stop laughing.
Fran Drescher, that was cute. Hey, good evening, here's another edition, ELC edition of WTR, Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Wrestle Talk Radio. We're going to be taking a quick look at the WWE's latest offering, the pre-Christmas pay-per-view, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. And then we're going to do other stuff. We're going to let you call in and give your views if you got any and you want to express them on Skype. Or you can make a telephone call, as a matter of fact. Get this right. If I get it wrong, I'm sure Rock will correct me. The error is 267-297-1397. And you can call in on your cell phone or your home telephone, but like I said, long distance charges may apply. That being said, I get the virtual standing ovation for getting the phone number right for the third time in my entire life, I suppose. I don't know. Well, there it is, and we take a look at what the matches were and who the winners were. Mace, all I got is gimmicks in a pay-per-view. Great idea. A pay-per-view that's a gimmick? Not such a great idea.
You're expecting a comment out of me at this point in time because, frankly, my brain shut off halfway through that show and it still hasn't regarded yet. I must be running Vista.
There you go. You should either downgrade to XP or upgrade to 7. I don't know. One of the two. But, it's overload. It's too much. Don't you think, Omega?
There's a double to this pay-per-view because the other gimmick pay-per-views, it does allow them a little bit of variety, you know, because we had basically four different types of gimmick matches today. But since they all look so damn similar, it is very easy to get overloaded on it at the same time.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was just going to say, if something like Money in the Bank, you know, we're only going to have two ladder matches out of a, you know, eight-match card.
Yeah. Well, you know, you look at it, they tried to vary things up. We had one that was not a gimmick match. It was a tag team match, if I remember correctly. It was for the tag titles, but that ended in an ODQ, that ended in a DQ when members of Maxis came out and basically interfered with the goings on. And that is the only thing that did involve a table, a ladder, or a chair. The rest of them, the rest of the matches on the card tonight involved, one of the three, or all three. They, you know, I understand they're trying to vary it. You know, okay, one match is a tables match, the other one's a tables ladders, and then you start all over again from the beginning. And it's just, it gets to be the same old, same old. Don't get me wrong. Most of these matches were really good. We're not saying that they sucked or anything like that by any means. Some were better than others, naturally. But, again, it's too much. You know, and you stop and you thought at Omega, what happens when you drink too much Coke? What happens when you have too much chocolate?
You get hyperactive and you lose your pants running around screaming.
You just, like, you overdose and you're sick.
Well, that too.
Yeah, that was what I was getting
well,
at.
Well, that's what happens to me when I eat too much cotton candy. I don't know about
well, we don't really need to discuss you pants, young man. And I heard the court order she got against you was going to be made permanent. That's all I heard.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway, enough of your traumatic troubles. Let's take a look at what we had. The first match was, what was it, a ladder match for the U.S. title, was it?
I'd say title. The U.S. title was defended in a dark match, which could have easily had taken the spot where Mr. Dashing decided to ball the shit out of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of stupid. They a title match is a dark match?
Title match is a dark match, and the promo that wasn't good enough to be on SmackDown or Raw was, you know, our prelude to the main event.
Absolutely, I don't know about it. But there it is, you know, ladder match, opening match, and I don't know, did they TNA pay-per-view an X match from years and years ago with the win on this one?
Now, I can remember, I don't think they, that was completely accidental, though. I mean, that was just improvising because the hook broke. So I don't know if you could technically steal it.
Yeah, well, to have the winner pick the belt up off the mat after it was dropped by the two guys on the ladder, I don't know, that's, It just came across to me like a really, really cheap way out. It sounds to me like those who came up with the finish kind of sort of maybe put themselves into a corner. How do we get out of this? Oh, I know. Let's have them drop the belt onto the mat and Ziggler can pick it up. What do you think?
This is probably the best thing since sliced bread. The book is absolutely amazingly creative talents and they know exactly what they're doing. Please. Stupid moronic endings are stupid.
Ladder match, I mean, there's only so many ways it can end. So I think the bookers have this need in their head to come up with some clever twist ending, you know, so it's not just, you know, your typical two guys on the top of the ladder, whoever gets the hardest punch in gets to climb the rest of the way up. You know, they're always trying to, you know, we saw with the other matches tonight, they're always trying to come up with something to make the finish a little bit more sudden. And the problem is, we had three of them tonight.
Uh-huh.
It just came off and half the card had some trick ending.
Yeah. Well, now that we've got the Spud guy who has joined our little round table of wrestling talk, Spud, did you catch the pay-per-view at all tonight?
Nope. Didn't care. I was unaware until about 7 o'clock there was actually a pay-per-view tonight.
Oh. Wow. All of this promoing hype and all this other stuff, talking about, you know, the TLC pay-per-view on December 19th, and it just totally slipped your mind?
Dude, I've been plowing snow for the past 3 Sundays.
Yeah.
Who's selling? Can I meet her?
Ow.
That's Lita's sister, Omega. Do you want to meet her?
Oh, no. Not now.
See? Wind tunnel, dude. Wind tunnel.
Yeah, there you go. Of course, everything looks small when it's the Grand Canyon. Yeah, to steal from Triple H from several years ago.
Dude, so many out-of-work comedians, and you're trying to be funny.
I'm not
Unless
trying to be...
Unless wrestlers are trying to be comedians.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be anything.
Anyway, yeah, so the match itself, nothing really huge. You know, there's a couple of spots, but Vicky Guerrero at one point in time getting on the ladder. How potentially disastrous could that have been, Mace?
Could have been fucking hilarious.
Vicky Guerrero,
your new Intercontinental Champion. I would have laughed my ass off, because then I would have had a good reason to quit watching wrestling completely.
Yeah, that would have been kind of funny in a sad way.
It would have been disastrous if she was in a miniskirt when she went up the ladder. You imagine everyone in the first four rows, blind, all of them.
Thank you for that mental image. I now have another reason why I won't be sleeping for the next month.
All I can say is I'm glad that Vicky Guerrero's not Scottish, just so, you know, the potential of having worn a kilt while going up the ladder was, you know, ruled out.
She's a man that...
I've seen women in kilts.
It's called a dress.
No, it's called a skirt.
No, it's called a skirt when a girl wears it. It's a kilt when a guy wears it.
Mm. It's called a... It's
so
called,
you're suggesting Vicky Guerrero has a shillelagh.
I thought this had been...
Well, if she's got a shillelagh, it can't be as big as Trina's.
Oh!
You see, I can be funny when I actually put my mind to it.
Once in a generation. Do we really have to talk about this, by the way?
You really had to reach for that one. Well, you know, people...
Do we have to talk about this? You know what? Because all we're going to do is sit here and bash on it. So do we really have to talk about it? I'm being dead serious.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm really sick.
I'm really sick and tired of just bashing on wrestling.
Okay, we're not bashing on it. The only negative thing we said was that a gimmick pay-per-view where the entire pay-per-view is the gimmick is a little much. Well, I even said at the top of the show... it wasn't bad. I mean, it was entertaining. Some matches were better than others, but it didn't give me any cause to think about bashing wrestling in general or anything in particular. I didn't have that negative feel. It's just I feel a little burned from all of the gimmicks in every match except for the tag team title matches. I wasn't
welcome to today's day and age in wrestling of trying to attract children to the product. Everything's got to have a gimmick. We can't have the flashy gimmick laden wrestlers anymore, so now we got to do it with the matches.
Well, again, we're just thinking it's a little bit too much. I mean, there's some really interesting stuff. Take a look at the second match, the Diva Table match with Natalya and Beth Phoenix teaming up to take on Lay Cool. At one point in time, there was a really, really interesting submission move by Natalya on Lay Cool Omega.
Natty stacking girls up. I like it.
Oh, boy. What you missed. Fuck, wait. Wait. What you missed, Natty put both Michelle McCool and Layla, one on top of the other, in a spoon position, at the same time, into what they were calling a double sharpshooter.
I don't care.
It looked good. Okay, Mace, go ahead, say it.
Oh, it looked hot.
Too late, moment's ruined.
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna deny it looked hot. It was really well done too. But the finish of the match saw Natalya and Beth Phoenix come out victorious when Natalya did a cross body off the top rope to break Lay Cool through the table. Omega, you had the line of the night in the chat while we were watching. What did you say?
My line was, God, how scrawny is Lay Cool when both of them can hit a table and it doesn't break?
and Natalya had to do the crossbody on top of both of them onto the table to put them through it to win the match.
Yeah,
I will say
she does have the extra force to put them through.
All right, go ahead, Spud.
Her double sharpshooters are very
important. There it goes. Yeah, yeah. Remind me to have a chat with Rock after the show's over about feeding you wines. I know he fed that one to you, so.
I was just going to say the stock standard line, but, you know, we don't want any angry emails.
No more angry emails. Anyway, Mace, it wasn't a bad match. It was pretty entertaining for the most part for a Divas match.
Yeah, it was definitely entertaining. Basically, I did have the feeling of that this was the welcome back, Beth Phoenix. Now get your ass kicked by two undeserving women.
Yeah, pretty much. Omega?
Yeah, about the same. I said it at the start. The way this match started, I mean, Lay Cool's getting beaten like a woman on cops. That was the best part.
Yeah.
But I want to know what's going through their head when they hit the table and it doesn't break. And they have to go, oh, fuck, she's going to hit us again.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It just seemed like the match was more of a showcase for Natalya's talents than it was for Beth Phoenix's return. It seemed like every time Beth Phoenix tried to mount any kind of an offense, there she goes, boom, right out the outside the ring again.
Did you just say Beth Phoenix and mount?
Don't be a wise ass.
See, now Tim's finally joining us on the joke. Yes, thank you, Lord. It is a Merry Christmas.
Wise asses.
Anyway,
let's try not to make this a total train wreck, shall we?
Why?
Too late.
It's every other week.
Intro.
I said a total train wreck.
Again, too late. You hit the intro.
Boy. Okay, Omega, get it out of your system. Thoughts and opinions on the match. God shit.
My only thoughts on the match is I want to see Natty sit on girls more often.
All right, so more double shooters for you. That's what you want under your Christmas tree.
I can't think of many things I want under my Christmas tree.
More of Natty's double sharpshooters.
Would they fit under your Christmas tree is the question.
Back off.
In two big packages, my friend.
Moving on, the next match was
No. Don't move on. No. Oh, no.
But I will mention this at this juncture. Did you notice that when Beth got whipped into the corner where Natty was, and all of a sudden Beth bounced about 4 foot backwards? Don't know if anybody else noticed that but me, but I wanted to make a joke on that one, but yeah. Again, I got stopped by the other half of the fucking pay-per-view, and now my brain's melted.
There you go. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to pay a whole hell of a lot of attention because I kept getting people showing up at my door to buy things for me and phone calls making plans to buy things for me and stuff like that. So
little bags of green herbs. It's all good. We know what you do on the side, Tim.
And no, actually, I sold my Sony PS2 tonight for $40. Canadian, which is like, it's the same thing as $60 US nowadays. That's because the American dollar is a lot weaker than the Canadian dollar now, anyway.
Not really. If you have to... Never mind.
Yeah.
The Australian dollar is closer to the American dollar than the Canadian these days.
Yeah, the Canadian dollar is worth more than the U.S. dollar and has been for the last month and change, which is good for the most part, except for when... We actually get paid through PayPal from Americans because I have to convert that to Canadian, and I lose money now instead of make money like I used to, which, you know, kind of sucks that way. But anyway, okay, time to move on, talk about the next match. It was the tag team title match, with Kozlov and Santino Marella defending against members of the NXT, which would be Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel. Mace, what do you think about the match? No gimmick.
He got to defend against Alexis.
Yeah, isn't that what Santino called him?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Had to double check that too.
There you
Can't
go.
Understand the damn thing that the guy says. Somebody get him some fucking subtitles.
There you go. Yeah. Just more Morella being gold on the mic, as it were. But nothing too overly spectacular about this match. Looked like they may have played it a little bit safe because possible, I don't know, potential weaknesses in the Kozlov and Santino's work repertoire, you think, maybe?
No, this was just something to fill some time because we have to get to Death and Cody Rhodes. And
yeah,
we also had to, like, fill time until Nexus got their head caved in with chairs.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So nothing extremely spectacular with this match. Of course, there's no clear-cut winner. It was a DQ finish because members of Nexus came out and interfered. So Santino and Kozlov retain the belts. Next match, King Sheamus. That's so weird to say. King Sheamus versus John Morrison. Now, here it is. It's number one contendership ladder match with the number one contendership on a clipboard hanging above the ring, Omega.
Now, this worked so well when it was done before, you know, because, you know, the contract would fall and the clipboard would still be up there, and instead of the contract, they'd have to go get the fucking clipboard.
There you go.
That made so much sense.
That would be absolutely senseless, completely.
Yeah,
Mace, any quick thoughts before we take a look at the match itself?
This was the point I was starting to fall asleep. Too many gimmicks, which
many
is unfortunate because these guys can work very well against each other, and I feel bad for not giving them the respect that they deserved by actually watching the match without going, oh, fuck, I can't keep my eyes open any longer. I'm so sick of ladders.
Uh-huh. No, and that's just the thing. It was a very entertaining match. They both had, good spots, and Morrison, bless him, remembered to sell his knee injury throughout pretty much the entirety of the match, Omega.
Yeah, that's what impressed me through the whole match was there were so many spots they came up with a ladder just to let Sheamus brutalize Morrison's leg a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were several spots. I mean, you know, knock him over when he was, Tree of Woad in the ladder or using it to drive his knee into the mat. I don't recall seeing things like that very often, and certainly not all in one match, where there's an actual psychology to it. And in a ladder match, it's perfect psychology, it's not like, in the submission match where, oh, he's working the arm the whole time, now he's gonna go for the sharpshooter, that kind of bullshit. It's, if he doesn't have a leg, he can't climb the damn ladder. So it actually came off really well, I thought.
Sorry, I was just going to say he wouldn't have a leg to stand on.
Oy.
Yeah, really bad. But, there were a couple of really good spots in this match tonight, and full marks to the two guys for actually keeping those of us who weren't overdosed on gimmicks entertained throughout the match. I know, it's a terrible thing to say, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record or anything like that.
Well, here's the thing that I really that caught me off guard about the match. No finishers. There was no bro kick. There was no Starship Pain.
There was a bro kick to his knee.
To his that doesn't count. Bro kicks to the head.
Yes, I know, but still, it was delivered the same way. Go ahead.
I'm just glad that they broke the mold, where I do get into this mindset of, well, the match isn't over yet and no one's gone for the finisher.
Yeah.
So I was kind of glad, especially, in a match where this, where it's not like, any of them are using a submission for a finisher, where it doesn't make sense. You know, these,
their impact moves. They could have been used, and they chose not to.
Yeah, absolutely true. It was a little more traditional of a ladder match in that regard. Would that be a fair thing to say, man?
Huh? Well,
just say yes.
Yes.
There you go. That's all you need to worry about. So, John Morrison wins, is now the new number one contender for the WWE Championship. And on that note, everybody, we're going to take our first time out of the evening. Don't go anywhere, but get on the instant messengers and post it on Facebook. Let everybody you know that we are now live and on the air right here at WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
Coming soon to the Wild Talk Radio Network, a show that honors all the men and women who have sacrificed their lives, a show that pays respect, and a show that pays tribute to us. That's right. Join us as we pay tribute to ourselves, as we hand out awards for the best show moment, best phone call, and even best show. We will also be paying tribute to one of our own by handing out the WTR Lifetime Achievement Award. Join us in the coming weeks for the first ever WTR Awards here only on WildTalkRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of geek culture becoming mainstream, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are doing our best to capitalize on this phenomenon. In that vein, I, Mace, a co-host of Otaku Talk Live, have decided to move its OTL to its very own podcast. That podcast being Fashion the Book. Now, what you will hear on there is myself going through select readings of this week's comic book, and I just let you know what's going on. So every Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, you'll be able to hear me talk about comic books. Okay, maybe boring. The only way you're going to find out is to go over to the archive section of wildtalkradio.com and download the show and have a listen for yourself. That's Bashing the Books, somewhere near the end of the week, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Alanis Morissette, wishing you the happiest of holidays.
Hey, this is Amy from Evanescence, wishing everybody a happy holiday.
What's up? This is Pink. I want to wish everybody happy Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, happy New Year, and be safe and buckle up. Crow, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hey, what's going on? It's Kelly Clarkson. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Ever wonder what is really going on through the mind of pro wrestlers? Well, now you can find out what some of the biggest names in the business were thinking about during pro wrestling's biggest moments. Just imagine if Facebook existed. Want to know more? Then log on to www.wildtalkradio.com/wrestlebook.
Or you just need something to do for the evening, then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or anything goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the youth over to Talkie Talk Live, all you gotta do is dot Wild Talk Radio Network. come and get wild with us.
Well, well, well. I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertrock, race.
Gonna wrestle talk radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Taking a look, getting back into the pay-per-view really quickly, get through this, and then we can move on and get on to other things. The next match up happened to be the WWE Champion Miz defending, and the first table loses. Is that not correct in this match, Omega?
Yep, that would be the stipulation.
All right. Now, the match itself had a couple of interesting spectacular it out at the end. The way the Miz won, Mace. Omega, I
very think enlightening.
Quite know what you're talking about.
Okay.
We steal.
Yeah, the lie, cheat, and steal of Eddie Guerrero, pulling a fast one to make the referee think that he won or he got hit by a chair when he's playing possum, or you know, it was classic Eddie to steal a win that way. And
yep.
Here we had Miz taking advantage of a table that just happened to be broken in the ring, and an Orton he just happened to lay out. You know, swap A ride for Orton, point at the ref, and damn it, I was pissed off that they restarted because that was one of the funnier endings I'd seen in a while.
It was one of the best moves in a match, I have to admit. Along that line, heard a curtain and light.
Oh yeah,
which I thought was absolutely one of the more classic Eddie Guerrero type light cheat and steal matches. But yeah, they replayed the ending on the Jumbotron, and the ref turned around as the, well. Wait a minute, I see this. We're gonna restart. The thing is, there's no instant replay in wrestling. What's going on with the restart, Mace?
Seriously, I have no idea. Like, it's there logically that when they show the replays on the screen, the ref should be able to see it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, that's fine. But what annoys the crap out of me is that the ref sees a replay of something underhanded being done, and he goes, okay, let's restart the match. When he's standing on the fucking stairs right next to the event that's happening and can clearly see what happened, he still awards the win to the Miz.
Uh-huh.
Something seems stupidly written.
Well, wouldn't it have made more sense for the anonymous GM to maybe call for the match to restart and maybe get Cole a little perturbed looking at the same time?
Quite possibly, but I'm still wondering how a referee can see something on a video screen and go, yes, okay, that's illegal, restart the match. Oh, look, Alex Riley got thrown into Randy Orton. That shouldn't really happen, but okay, I'll allow it.
There you go, yeah. Of course, Alex Riley playing a more than minor role in this particular match on the pay-per-view tonight, Omega. What do you think of the actual final real ending?
If they're going to go with a restart of some kind, I really would have wished they had given it about, like, 5 more minutes. I mean, if they're going to go with another twist ending, you know, don't go straight to it. Give me a build-up. Give me a little bit more length on the match. You know, do something, anything. But, you know, just, you know, it seemed like as soon as Riley made it back to his feet, Miz was using him as a battering ram to win the match.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that could count as a... As Miz putting Orton through the table. I mean, if he hit him, you know, if he stabbed him with one table to knock him into another, it'd be the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is true. So basically, the only real complaint here would be that the restart wasn't given the proper amount of time, I guess we could say.
Well, it wasn't worth it. When the first ending was so much more clever than the second ending, then the restart doesn't make any sense. You've only padded the match by 30 seconds.
Well, this is being brought up to me in a separate instant message window. What would you say was the more creative, Miz making the switch or Cena using the duct tape on Batista?
No, Miz making the switch.
It was more entertaining, I think.
No doubt in my mind. No, not only more entertaining, but there's a little bit more clever. I mean, It seems like anyone could have thought up. It was a last man standing match. All you had to do was keep the guy down. We've seen forklifts come into, matches where, falls count anywhere. And so, no stranger to outside props. It was only a matter of time before someone figured, tie the bastard down.
There you go. Yeah. So, the initial finish of tonight's match had a little bit more of an entertainment factor than the duct tape, definitely, for sure. Again, the match, not painful to watch. Both guys put in pretty good effort, with, of course, Alex Riley coming into play on two separate occasions. Only complaint on this particular one was the lack of time given to the restart. Other than that, not a bad match. Up next, the Fatal 4-Way for the world title. We got Rey Mysterio taking on Kane, taking on Edge, taking on Alberto Del Rio. Couple of insane spots in this one, Omega.
God, unfortunately, I got pulled away for a good chunk of this match, so unfortunately, I did not get to see a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually glad that they made this last minute. I'm sure that we got something, we had a Big Show Cody Rhodes time waster. We had a tag title match with a, that wasn't announced with anyone. I'm sure it was padding out what was supposed to be Del Rio and Mysterio. If Mysterio wasn't nursing an injury again.
Uh-huh.
So, but the upside is, I don't think a TLC match should have less than four people in it.
I have to agree with you on that one. That's all I was going to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there was a very positive upside to them cramming two matches together to make this.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I still didn't get to see half the match. I like the outcome, but unfortunately, I wish I could have seen more.
Well, that's too bad, yeah. But, when Edge is involved in a TLC match, Mace, there's going to be a couple of insane bumps, eh?
Yeah, quite possibly if I was watching this one.
Once again, everybody, Mace having suffered a little bit of sensory overload with the match, having a hard time getting into it tonight, but...
Let's call it what it is. Mace got bored shitless by halfway through this pay-per-view and didn't really give a flying fuck anymore.
I was trying to be politic and diplomatic.
You want to do that? There's another network you can go and be on, and I don't think you'll like your co-hosts.
Yeah, well, there you go. But, I will say that had Spuds seen this particular match, he wouldn't have had too many problems with it. Really good match. Well executed. What's that?
And Mace brought up, that if you don't like it, you can go to another network. Your co-host over there probably isn't a cancer on the business, though.
Oh. What? You were given that clip, too, were you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we might listen. We might hear it in just a little bit after we're finished.
I want to hear it. Can we finish talking about the pay-per-view like now?
Yeah, well, we've got one more thing to go. But the winner and new World Heavyweight Champion, I do believe everybody picked him last week in our predictions, Edge.
Yeah, funny how the guy who was dominating the feud with the world champion won the match.
Yeah.
We did not see that coming one little bit.
Well, you're not used to it because of the way things are normally booked.
talk.
Oh, please. Even I pulled in, like, who's going to be the main event tonight, and all you guys going, no, no, not going to happen. I'm like, bullshit.
Yeah, well, I didn't disagree with you. So. But anyway, yeah, Edge winning the world title, I think, will definitely give a little bit more freshness to it, even though he's held the title, what, 50 times already.
I think this is reign number 10.
Yeah, it'll open up, I think it will reopen potential avenues for them to travel down.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but has Edge ever held a world title as a face?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, when he and Christian were together, they held the world tag titles.
That's
we're talking world titles, not tag titles.
Nine times as a heel.
Okay, you're talking singles.
I'm talking world championships.
He's talking the world heavyweight title, which would be a singles title, but it's the only title that you need to recognize.
There you go. Okay, okay.
See,
so,
you remember a time when Ric Flair's, 13, 14, 15, 16 times as a world champ was like this really big deal? Now we have so many people closing in on that mark, and we got a couple that are probably going to overtake it.
Yeah.
Later to make, one guy's legacy really turn to a pile of steaming shit.
Well, yeah.
Well. If you're, I wouldn't say that. If you're counting his legacy just in title reigns, you are not looking at the man's work.
No. I'm meaning, like, the world title part of his legacy. The dude's got a massive legacy. Nobody can doubt that one bit.
But
that legacy was that world championship title reign.
Yeah, but that's a title reign during the time that he was in. In the 70s and 80s when you didn't have to have a new champion to keep a TV product fresh.
You're also talking about an era where the title was the end of the journey and not a prop halfway through, right? Right, Spud?
I suppose. I don't know. I kind of think that number's a bit shallow anymore. Simply because of the watering down of the business anyway.
Yeah. Well, you stop and you think about it. How long did Morocco hold the title for? Does he not still have the record for longest title holder?
He held that title forever and a day.
I think it was forever and 2.5 days. But the point is, again, it goes back to what I said. They've watered down the significance of the titles. Really. And that's a damn shame, I think.
Very, very true.
Yeah, so.
Ten years ago, I would have thought, somebody catching up to Ric Flair's number of title reigns would have been impossible. Now we're just waiting until it happens.
Yeah, and it's going to happen practically any day now, almost, it seems.
Yeah,
but,
when Triple H gets back.
Yep, there you go. But, congratulations to Edge, who is the new world champion. Now, time to take a look at the main event. And I would love for you to explain to me how this is the main event instead of the TLC match. We're, of course, talking about John Cena taking on Wade Barrett in a chairs match, Omega.
I don't care who it fucking is. You never, ever put a match where absolutely nothing is on the line over two world title matches.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing to get here. There was no. I know it's Cena. Okay,
it's
let's get this.
Their big merchandise seller. Why he's in the main event.
I know why he's in the main event, but you never do it. This match had nothing. Now, Nexus wasn't gone if he won. Cena wasn't joining Nexus. He wasn't leaving. There was no title on the line. No first, number one contendership. Nothing. This was a single match. There was nothing to it. It should never, ever be following two world title matches. It should never be main eventing a pay-per-view over the world title. Tim just said it. Tim just said it. The world title's a prop. I mean, when you're going to do this kind of shit, of course the belt's not going to have as much meaning.
I, for one, think that's a crying shame, Mace.
I'll agree with it. You know, it should have been the TLC match as the main event. But as I said, it's John fucking Cena. The company can't seem to do anything unless the final shot of the pay-per-view is John Cena standing victorious over somebody. It shows a lack of creativity and how much they rely on this guy to basically run the fucking company from the performance side. It's a fucking shame that they have to do it over two titles that could have been the main event.
Yep.
Hell, I would have liked to have seen Miz and Randy Orton. Even that was deserving of a main event spot over a John Cena-Wade Barrett chairs match.
Mm-hmm. Now, leading up to this match, evidently John Cena was taking his time in the back tonight as the pay-per-view was going on, slowly but surely taking out, one by one, all the members of Nexus. They did not show this. They showed him taking out one member of Nexus. And then said, okay, well, he's taking everybody out, you know, one left to go. That's Wade Barrett, main event, you know, main event's next. Out they come, and, you know, it, again, I'm not deriding him, I'm not putting him down or anything like that. It just was more John Cena. You know, a typical John Cena match. Sure, he, you know, starts out strong, he gets put down a little bit, then he becomes Superman, and John Cena, one-on-one against Wade Barrett, wins with an attitude adjustment on top of, what was it, six chairs in the ring. And then goes for the pin, and bada-bing, bada-boom, John Cena looks like he's got his revenge. Are we finally done with this feud, or is there going to be more?
Hell no!
Dadgummit.
Yeah, we're not done with this until Nexus is completely gone, which will probably be at the Rumble. I think Rock had an interesting observation, is that this, you know, this is the first time two rookies have main evented a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Neither of these guys have been hired for longer than a year.
So, yeah, you know, not one mentioned by anybody at the pay-per-view tonight over that fact, was there now?
Total waste of opportunity.
Okay, it was a technical thing, but what the hell? Anyway. So, yeah, but a bit of a quote-unquote historic event taking place for the main event. John Cena, victorious, finally gets his revenge on Wade Barrett after laying out the rest of Nexus. I guess they showed them, they showed Nexus knocked out on the floor in the locker room. They just didn't, they didn't show it happening. Now, that's something that would have added, I think, to the pay-per-view, is seeing these guys getting chair-shotted, you know, quote-unquote, to the head. Not really, but, you know, getting the chair shots to the head that lay him out. And you know it's Cena, but don't show it. Show him doing it.
I think it was interesting that it seems like in Cena's time off, he seems to have been training with Johnny Knoxville. We had a spot of him rolling him down into the steel steps in a rolling chair, and how did he take out Harris? With the Jackass 3D slap around the corner.
Yep, the Jackass 3D slap around the corner. So definitely he must have watched the movie a couple of times before tonight's pay-per-view.
Yeah, he's probably pissed off because half the arsenal had a shopping cart involved.
There you go. Yeah.
So, the LCS.
There you go. So there it is, our look at WWE's TLC pay-per-view. Once again, you know, again, the matches were, for the most part, they were solid. I can't say that, you know, taken individually, I can't say that any of them were really bad or even partly bad. And like I said, some were better than others, and some had better spots than others. The only problem I have is the nature of the pay-per-view itself, you know, where only one match is not a gimmick, or, you know, one match is and that's it. The rest of them are variations on the theme. And in my opinion, just personally speaking, it was too much. In a TLC pay-per-view, now, guys, you can argue this with me if you want, or dispute, whatever, it's up to you. I believe that they should have had two TLC matches, one for each major title, and then the rest of them, like regular matches or no DQ, just no DQ. Omega?
How about, you know, I wouldn't even say two TLC matches. Like, you know, like a TLC match, and then maybe like a table match or a ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that is it.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, separately, the matches would have been fine. I mean, I really don't have anything harsh to say about any of the matches tonight, but it's just the fact that they're one after another.
Yep.
Spread it out over eight pay-per-views, it's great. All at once? No.
Yeah, not so much. I mean, this is something that, you know, these types of matches, they could have spread it out over eight pay-per-views. And, yeah, just to answer Josh in the chat room, he thought chair shot to the head were illegal. Now they are. The guys didn't really get a shot to the head. They just made it look like he got hit in the head. John Cena, what he did, he smacked the chair against the door jamb when the guy was close enough that in 2D it looked like he got hit. It's an old movie trick. He was probably still a good 8 inches away from the chair itself, but Husky Harris did not get actually get hit. It's like I said, it's a movie stuntman trick for something that's on video or film. So yeah, it looked like he got the shot to the head, but he didn't really. So if you make it look like it, but it doesn't really happen, okay. The actual real chair shots to the head are illegal now, because of the potential concussion damage and stuff like that. That's what's going on. It's actually hitting him. That's illegal. Not making it look like he did it. That's illegal. So, with that being said, hey, everybody, time for us to take our second time out of the evening, and then we're going to come back and do some more fun stuff, get everybody a little bit more involved. And once again, you can call into the show, give us your thoughts and opinions on pretty much just about anything. All you got to do is Skype to Skype to Rockin', or phone 267-297-1397. Long distance charges may apply. We'll be back right after this.
My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
You forgot or fell off. I'm still hot. Knock your shell off. My money stacked fat. Plus I can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I'm in this. It's automatic. I win it. So you hit those horns. You finish. A soldier.
On Sunday, January 30th, 2011, the entire wrestling industry will converge to Boston, Massachusetts, for the 2011 WRAs. It's the biggest public award show for the wrestling industry, and it only happens once a year. The voting booth is now open. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com to vote up to once per day for all of the coveted titles, such as Wrestler of the Year, Interview of the Year, Best Pro Wrestling Talk Show, Match of the Year, Hottest National Wrestling Babe, and many more categories. If you are in the wrestling industry and would like to participate in this year's festivities, either live or via Skype, for priority accommodation, please contact showdownnews@aol.com. We will see you on January 30th. For more information, please visit WrestlingRadioAwards.com.
This is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Mrs. Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
He sure is.
Oh my God, this is awesome. So, Mom, you got any questions for your son? You want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they going to be hours?
I don't want
to be through.
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. It's in a photo album somewhere. Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you could tell us about?
Nope. Well, it's not so much embarrassing, but there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, and years later, I ran into Ricky Moore. So I was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with him. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way.
Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesday, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Nate, the overworked co-host of Wrestle Talk Radio, OWW Radio, Otaku Talk Live, the offside producer, Cindy Planning Boy, Building Diana, Advertising Guru, Bugs Bong Holder, Drink Runner, Omega's Transformer Record Keeper, and Back in the Book, all here on WildTalkRadio.com. If you decide to listen to a show that features a bit of the old-fashioned ultra-violence, people getting their heads kicked in, bones broken, and bloody crazy fights, then come on over and listen to Tap Outs to Knockouts live in the archive section of WildTalkRadio.com.
Mate, it's not all about the bloody stuff and the ultra-violence. Hey, this is Fuzz from Tap Outs to Knockouts. And if you want to hear the news, results, the technical side of MMA, check us out on WildTalkRadio.com in the archive section. And oh yeah, we do have the bloody stuff.
And now I know.
And knowing is half the battle. Hey! What are you guys doing in here? Get back to sleeping.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team. And you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm coming home.
And we're back right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Talk a little bit of wrestling right here on Wrestle Talk Radio. And, of course, now it's time for a little bit of news and a couple of notes. Guys, Hulk Hogan got married. that's not the news story. There was a fight at the wedding. That's the news story. Sources who were at the wedding tell us a photographer was trying to snap pictures of Hogan and his bride, Jennifer McDaniel, during the ceremony in their backyard, which just so happens to be on the beach in Clearwater, Florida. Now, we're told a family employee told the photographer to basically take a hike. Then the scuffle broke out just as Hulk and Jennifer were saying their vows.
Hogan didn't decide to get his own photographer for the wedding?
Apparently not. I don't know, cops were called, but no one was arrested since no one wanted to press charges or anything like that. Ceremony continued, right through Hulk and Jennifer's I do's.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so, if you go to a wrestling match, maybe a wedding will break out.
That's happened quite a few times before.
Yeah, we know, wrestling weddings never work out.
Yeah. Not on the screen anyway, not in the storyline, but who knows? Real life might be something different. According to Dixie Carter on her Twitter, Samoa Joe has re-signed with TNA, Mace.
Yay! Eat that, everybody who said, oh my god, he should go to WWE.
So what do you think, Omega? Is this a good move or what?
It's a good move, if only because, you know, it's someone, you know, of course, you know, known for Ring of Honor, but, you know, technically he is one of those guys you know as a TNA talent. That can't be said for a lot of their roster.
Yeah.
It's nice that they actually acknowledge that, you know, this guy's worth keeping around because he's one of their better talents. You know, I just hope they use him properly this time.
Yeah, absolutely true. Spud, you see any potential downside with Samoa Joe re-signing with TNA instead of looking at an offer sheet from WWE?
He didn't sign with TNA.
He didn't?
No, he didn't. How many times has Dixie come out on her Twitter and said something and it hasn't happened? Big surprise! Your big surprise is you don't really have a big surprise, huh?
No big surprise. But, stop and think about it. Samoa Joe re-signs with TNA. You going to use him any better this time around, Omega?
Which one were we talking about again?
Samoa Joe re-signs with TNA. You going to use him any better this time around?
I just said I hope so. You're asking me to repeat an answer. I wasn't sure you were talking about the same guy.
Yeah, no. It's like what would you do? What would you do? Okay, you're in charge of TNA. How would you use Samoa Joe this time around?
That's an overweight water boy.
Oh boy. We go back to the undefeatable monster. This human steamroller that he was when he first came into TNA, and you make him the one going up against Fortune and Immortal. You make him essentially the Sting for this version of the NWO.
Okay.
Because that's the one issue I have with this faction right now is that there is no opposition whatsoever. I mean, you've got like Morgan and Anderson, but you know, and RVD to an extent, but they just want to go after Hardy. They have no interest in, you know, stopping Immortal or that's the one problem. It's like, Bischoff is pushing Immortal under the premises, you know, people love, you know, the confrontation, you know, seeing, you know, these big groups taken down. There's no one fighting it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not a one.
Okay. Well, in that vein, Mace, would you consider putting Samoa Joe in some kind of a stable that had Morgan, Anderson, and RVD?
No, I'd do like Omega said. I'd put him as the Sting. He's the guy who stands alone but beats the living shit out of people.
Okay.
Joe's going to kill you. Sam's been chanting it for years. Let the bastard do it.
Let him actually do what he did in Ring of Honor when he was there. Basically.
No, that was first degree manslaughter. That was almost illegal.
Almost illegal. So, but yeah, you know, there it is. Next topic. WWE wrestler, Ron Killings, better known as R-Truth, at least nowadays he is, was rushed to the hospital recently when he went into convulsions while traveling. Now, according to Wrestling Observer Newsletter, doctor determined that Killings has walking pneumonia. Felt that he was lucky to be alive at all because his brain was not getting enough oxygen. Now, he's expected to be out of action for a couple of weeks. Any comments, anybody?
No.
Thank God he dodged a bullet on this one and got attention soon enough. Thankfully he'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. So there's the news on Ron Killings. Next little item, Black Widow Customs. You know what this is, don't you, Spug?
The motorcycle custom shop, isn't it?
Yeah, it's owned by TNA Knockout Terra, you know, real name Lisa Marie Verone. Did you hear what happened to it?
Probably got broken into.
No. Mace, you know what happened, don't you?
Somebody thought it was a good idea to light a campfire inside the office, and it didn't quite go as well as planned.
Exactly, yeah. Black Widow Customs caught fire Thursday morning, and there's an investigation, and fire department officials are labeling the fire as suspicious. Now, here's the thing. Basically, when this happened, it was like overnight, you know, and then on Thursday morning, overnight Wednesday night into Thursday morning. On Wednesday, Tara was in the hospital having a procedure done. She was having lumps removed from one of her boobs. And as far as everybody knows, these are benign, probably just cysts, but they're still doing, they're removing them and then doing biopsies just to make sure that they're not cancerous. However, the next morning, she wakes up to a message from a wrestler friend of hers asking how she was and how things were. She said, yeah, I'm okay, I'm groggy, I'll talk to you later. She thought that the message was concerning her operation. As soon as she replied to the message, she saw the news that her business caught on fire.
Hmm.
Wasn't there a third bit to that where they're supposedly under investigation for some sort of fraud or something like that?
An employee...
Or doing dodgy jobs or something?
Yeah, well, there's a complaint. She's actually facing a complaint from a customer. But she maintains that it's just one person and they did nothing wrong. getting back to the fire... An employee claims that he arrived at the building Thursday morning and stated that it had been broken into and vandalized. Three small fires had broken out on the ground. And the employee claims he was unable to put out the fire. No injuries. The firefighters and the arson investigators arrived on scene. And this is the speculation what you brought up, Mace. Everybody's one because it's suspicious. Because of this dispute, I guess you can call it, that is going to court between Black Widow Customs and a previous customer or client, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, well, okay, there's this type of friggin' claim and stuff. It was on the news like the night before or something like that, before the fire went up, which makes me wonder... the fire marshal or, you know, the firefighters who are investigating the blaze, are they marking it as suspicious due to the fact that it actually is suspicious, or is it just suspicious timing that they've seen this shop on the news the night before and gone, there might be something here, let me put on my tinfoil hat.
Yeah. Well, any time that something like that happens at the same time that there's a dispute going on, it's just, you know, standard procedure to label it suspicious, because it is rather coincidental, don't you think, Omega?
Well, yeah, it just seems to be logical at that point.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that they think that the guy broke in and started the fires just to get even. And it would, it would seem to make very little sense to do something like that when you're actually taking Black Widow Customs to court. And it's pretty much a 50-50 toss-up whether or not they, you're going to get your money back. And that's all that's all the court case is. Black Widow Customs did a shitty job, and I want my money back. That's pretty much all it is. It's a civil suit, Spud.
I guess. I could care less, dude.
So.
I really could.
Okay. So there it is. Yeah, you know, the suspiciousness, labeling it suspicious is just the coincidental nature of timing, I guess you can call it. So, next news item, it was announced at Ring of Honor's final battle pay-per-view that Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas have signed contracts with the company and will appear more often at more events. I suppose this is good news for the world's greatest tag team, Haas and Benjamin. You know, guys are going to be raking in the money for their appearance. I don't think it's going to hurt Ring of Honor at all, Omega.
No. I mean, that's one of the better-known tag teams from the WWE, from the Attitude and Post-Attitude era. You know, that's quite a boon for ROH to be able to reunite those two.
Yeah. So, good on them. And we've got another news item, but before we do that, everybody, I want you to pay attention to the Ustream player. We're going to show you a little something.
Now, Tim, probably curious, what the hell is Rock going to show on the Ustream player right now?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering what the hell you're going to show.
I just came across this piece of footage, and everyone has heard by now the commercial we play on the network about Karina's mom calling into OWW Radio.
Yeah.
Well, apparently CM Punk's aunt called into a news station in Chicago, and they showed a piece of footage of him on the Bozo the Clown show in 1986.
Oh, my God.
CM Punk on Bozo the Clown show. 1986. Watch for the Ustream player, people.
I got a letter and some video from a Chicago Public School teacher named Chris Kowalski, and she says, I am the aunt of WWE professional wrestler CM Punk, a.k.a. Phil Brooks. In 1986, my family finally got the chance to go down to the Bozo show after waiting 10 years for tickets. I was 19, and my nephews, Michael and Philip, were 10 and 8. Anyway, Phil was chosen to play the game at the end of the show. Not only did Phil win the game, this is CM Punk, Phil.
Yeah.
But he exhibited what will be his trademark humor and cockiness. I think he was destined for the world of the WWE. Okay, this is what the wrestler CM Punk looks like now. And here he is on the old Bozo show back in 1986. CM Punk is the boy who is to the right of Joey Diorio. Take a look.
When the music stops, it's eliminated. You got it? So you don't want to be wearing this when the music stops. Huh? That's good. I'll do the jokes, okay?
Where do you
want to
start?
Bozo, I think your son is here. Anyway, go. Hurry up.
I don't know.
Right of Joey. There.
Now, Joey is Bozo. I think he was the kid to the right of the other kid.
He's coming up here.
Here we go.
This is a fun game.
There he is, the kid that won right there. That's CM Punk.
Ladies and gentlemen, the comedian is our winner right here.
Will you stop that?
It's you.
That's her.
Oh, it's
her. Yeah.
There you go.
He's
okay.
Yeah, here, you hold on to that.
Okay. Oh.
He won a new and exciting game from Parker Brothers called Don't Wait the Dragon. Yes,
what is into that?
Here's an exciting best game of cards and dice
by the makers of Uno. You know what it's called?
No, what's it called?
Luck.
Luck. Oh.
And it's for the other players. What do you think of that?
But wait, there's more. Everyone is going to get a look at this.
What is it?
It's a brand new shampoo. It's called Created. It's for kids. And it has a no-tears formula, and this one is bubblegum-scented. One for everybody.
But wait a minute.
Give
me
the Bozo video. Send it to us, would you?
Popcorn. I love it.
Why?
So there you go. I figured that's kind of humorous to see CM Punk on Bozo the Clown Show.
Yeah, the comedian won and grew up to become a professional wrestler in WWE.
The comedian made so much more money than me right now.
Yeah.
I just noticed when they go, here's a picture of CM Punk now. Both those photos are from Ring of Honor. One of them, he's actually wearing the ROH title.
The other one was the press shot from WWE, not ROH.
Yeah.
Really? I thought that was one of his old ROH press photos.
No, I've seen that in local advertising when he's doing, like, autograph interviews when WWE's in town.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed because I wanted it to be like the grand prize game. I wanted to see CM Punk tossing ping pong balls.
I was just expecting him to pick up Bozo the Clown and give him a go to sleep, but yeah, a bit too early for that, I reckon.
Yeah, no, yeah. He was still in the Pepsi plunge back then.
Yeah, I remember seeing ping pong balls tossed across the room, but that was at a bachelor party. I don't think CM Punk could do that.
No, it's a different kind of trick shot.
Yeah, I think those were perfected by Lita Omega.
No. You put anything in that spot on Lita, it doesn't come out.
Is that how Matt Hardy disappeared?
That's where his career went. We know that.
Yeah, I was about to elaborate. There you go. So, two more little news items before we take our next break. It was announced during WWE SmackDown, former ECW champion Ezekiel Jackson would be moving back to SmackDown next week. On Twitter, Jackson said he was, and I quote, heading home.
Whoop-de-shit.
ECW still existed.
Yeah, there you go. Well, he's a former ECW champion, which you have to sort of put the addendum. It was WWE ECW. No real reason or rhyme to comment on that one. It's just, you know, a little bit of a news bit. But the last little news bit here, Mace, you might want to take this because you're the one who brought it up.
I saw this posted recently. It seems that there was a podcaster / blogger who decided to have a go at Eric Bischoff recently on his Facebook page, claiming that if Bischoff had failed to deliver the way he has in TNA, if it was any other company, he would have been fired by now. Bischoff, in a very surprising move, called into the guy's little podcast, audio blog, whatever the hell he's running, and basically ripped him a new one. He just absolutely started ripping into this guy. Good on Bischoff for standing up for his company and everything, but the initial comment, I'd probably be siding with the blogger on that one, because if you're failing to deliver, then, you know, you're sort of fucking with your own contract there. But then again, Bischoff's pulling, you know, do you have the company's private numbers? We are a private company, so we make sure no information gets out to people, rah, 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 rah. So, I don't know. It's just one of those things that's, like, surprising to see Bischoff turning around and finally snapping back at these people who are throwing shit at him.
Well, he's been doing that on his Facebook posts regularly, and he has spin doctored a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. A lot of this is spin doctoring, you know. We don't have the numbers because they are a private company, and like he'd really put out the proper information to us. But, you know, we all know he likes to parade himself on another audio show. Hell, if he wants to come over here and talk with us, we'll gladly pick his brains and try and see if we can steer him back in the right direction.
There you go. There's a thought. I'd be absolutely scared spitless to have Eric Bischoff on this show with you guys.
Dude, I'd love to sit there and pick his brain. He was one of the best bookers in the 90s. I'd love to sit there and pick his brain. I have respect for this guy professionally, but the fact is the characters he plays are assholes.
For the record, 267-297-1397. We'll take your call anytime.
R9. You have to wait until Monday night and the madness with the fanboy.
With the moron?
Yeah, you know, the fanboy who's a cancer to the business. By the way,
play that audio.
I was about to say, Rock, you've got the clip. Play it.
Set it up, Tim. Set it up correctly.
Set it up. Okay, before Rust Talk Radio goes live on the air, we have we've got one of the newer shows, live shows, called Life is Callous. Your host is world-renowned independent professional wrestler Johnny Cashmere. Yeah, he's a member of the network, who I informed, was a bona fide actual member of the gang after taking a random shot at me during tonight's show. And that's, of course, according to the rules established last night on CB Radio Omega.
I still say that it was unjust. Filing a formal protest tomorrow night.
Yes, of course. Well, to become a bona fide member of the gang, I guess you had to take random swipes at yours truly, Tim Stein, on a program. And Johnny
shit,
did.
I must be the gang leader.
Oh, fuck, man. You're the president and founding member. You're the founder.
It's a technicality, because his aren't random. They are constant.
Yeah. Yeah, but they started out random, and then all of a sudden it just became his thing, you know?
Oh, I know.
So, anyway, yeah, Johnny's on there, and he had a really good, quick little couple of interviews, one with Antisocial, and the other one with ECW founder, Todd Gordon. And the archive will be available later tonight on wildtalkradio.com in our archive section. So if you missed the webcast, you can catch the archive, download it, listen to it streaming, put it on your iPod, listen to it while you're on your way to work in the morning, whatever, doesn't matter. Just listen to the damn thing. That's basically what we're getting at. But at one point, we had a little chat about Todd Gordon and the fact that I have spoken with him a couple of times in the past because he has been an annual guest on a show that is produced by WTR Productions, totally different website, totally separate from the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I didn't mention anything other than the name of the program, which would be, and I'm probably only going to ever do this once on this show, Monday Night Mayhem with the Big Mosh. And, well, Johnny had a statement to make.
Big Mosh is a cancer to the business.
That's all he said. He didn't follow it up.
No, he said more, but it wasn't worth clipping because it was sort of like it was backpedaling after he said it. So, but I let him know, and we're clipping that for use on the show. So, but that's what it is, and there it is. And it's time for our next break of the evening. Everybody listen to Rush Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Roundtable on the other side of this. Find your little time out.
Cause your opinion don't matter. If a maniac is gonna step on whomever, I'm getting right. Cause I'm gonna make it clean. Chicken and chicken legs, bleeding hot for a baby. I'm falling out.
This is what happens when someone drunk dials TV radio.
Rock!
Bug!
We decided we were going to go out, and I decided I was drinking, and I got fucked up. And I'm never going to get fucked up. Crazy little tipsy. My wife decided to be the DD tonight, so I'm going to have to give her a good fat fucking scroggin later. Show my appreciation. Pig sex. I'm going to go to BP.
Buy one here.
Give me some cigarettes.
With no pants.
I should walk in there with my pants on. No, I don't need parental supervision, Mom. That's a really mean looking black woman behind the counter. She might hurt.
My dude, back to Dana.
You stupid dog!
I'm your lights off.
Okay, when you sit there and wave at people that you're close, and yet every fucking light is on, even your open light, what do you think that tells people? Yeah, but I can't walk in there without my pants on. I can't do it. I'm gonna do it.
I'm going to say I don't know you.
Go back to jail. All right. Step back or into the box.
Please tell me he has no pants on.
No, I have pants on. I promise I have pants on.
Aww.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna...
The person at the terrace.
Like, what the yeah. hell? Do you guys have any condoms? There's a woman who has more VD than Lita. One
time. I can't for the kids. The kids are just working the same.
If it weren't past 1 a.m., I'd buy me a bottle of Mad Dog 2020. I caught him thinking about Tim Van Bannon. Well, you can jump style all the time.
Tune in every Saturday around midnight to see who will drunk style TV radio next.
It's time again for the Wrestling Radio Awards, and WrestleTalk Radio has been nominated for Show of the Year and People's Choice.
And Tim Stein for Host of the Year. Really? Tim? What about me on TV Radio?
Yeah, Rod. Try showing up sometime. Head to www.wrestlingradioawards.com today and vote for WrestleTalk Radio.
And Tim Stein for Host of the Year.
Oh, thanks, Rob.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, continuing right along with the show. Hey, it's time for the WTR Roundtable. Throw out a question there. Let everybody have their chance to answer it. And don't forget, everybody, if you want, you can call in and get in on this yourself. All you got to do is get in touch with Sir Rockin', Skype to Skype, or dial 297-267-1397.
Wow. You screwed that number up so bad.
Oh, okay, so it's the first time that I screwed it up. What is it? 267-297-1397?
There you go. Good job.
Okay, what did I say the first time? 297-267?
297-something-something, 1397.
Dial 273-7373, pizza 73, yeah. So, there it is. Feel free to call in.
Number one for this week.
Yeah, feel free to call in 267-297-1397. We want to hear from you. Just remember, long-distance charges may apply. The roundtable question tonight. What is your opinion on how TNA has introduced a real-life concussion into the current storyline with Mr. Anderson and Matt Morgan? And do you think TNA is doing the right thing by putting a focus on concussions in wrestling? And this goes so far as to actually mention Chris Nowinski and his Concussion Institute.
This is where you moderate, Tim.
I'm just giving every... It's called a caesura. It's a pregnant pause.
No, this is why Tim Stein should be host of the year. Wrestling Radio.
Yeah.
Awards. I'm just mentioning it.
Yeah, there you go. The host of the year for the Wrestling Radio Awards, where you can vote once a day.
Yeah. Those awards. Vote Tim Stein for those awkward moments right there.
Awkward moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one or two of them. Anyway. So yeah, what's your opinion about them introducing the real life concussion into the storyline, Omega?
You know what? This has been a big thing lately. I mean, now we're just now getting the NFL. I mean, where it used to be, oh, you just got a concussion? Oh, well, you know, here's an Advil. Here, go out there. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, just watch your head for the rest of the night. You know, that's pretty much it. I mean, it took something like Nowinski's institution to kind of start figuring out that, okay, serious things are happening here. This isn't just some minor bruise to the brain. There's serious damage going on here. I think it's something that a lot of people still take for granted. You know, concussion just doesn't seem to have the same emphasis as any other injury. So I actually do kind of like the fact that TNA is making light of it and kind of making it the forefront. That being said, maybe not the best thing to put in the storyline.
You don't think?
I can. Well, only because I don't. I don't know. Whenever it seems to get, there's always this very fine line when you're introducing real-world incidents into wrestling storylines. I felt the same way when Matt Hardy came back and they were making light of, you know, Lita cheating on him with Edge.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't think that, you know, aside from being a personal thing, I didn't think it had any right to be in there because, okay, this is a real situation. This is something that's really harmed people and something that they really have to struggle through. Why are we rehashing it? Why are we making light of it on national television?
Yeah, and that whole angle, you saw the toll that it took on Lita every time she was on camera. You could see her fighting back tears, really working and not emotionally breaking down.
Yeah, one time I will defend Lita on this show. It was the wrong position to put her in. Not that there is a wrong position most of the time for her.
There
but
you
in
go.
That case,
yeah, you defended her on one hand and slapped her with the other at the same time.
The way she likes it.
There you go. Yeah. But seriously, can you compare what they're doing with the concussion angle and maybe opening people's eyes to the seriousness of a concussion to what happened in WWE with the Lita and Matt and Edge triangle mace?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but there is some comparisons to be made between the two situations, both the real-life situations that actually have real-world implications and ramifications, if you will. As somebody who has taken quite a few unprotected chair shots to the head and has had multiple concussions, anything that brings this subject to light and gets people going, okay, we need to do something about this, maybe even if it's just the people in the backstage area going, okay, we need to start looking at which moves do damage in the realm of, you know, giving people move A, B, C, and D. Okay, these can result in a concussion. Let's find a way to make them safer. Let's find a way to maybe avoid them if possible. You know, it's one of those things that myself, as somebody who has had concussions in the past, I applaud them. I reckon it's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Bring it to the forefront. Make people learn about it. Maybe that's the only way it can get the business to change.
Okay, there you go. Well, as a professional wrestler, Mace and Spug, I'm sure that you guys, like you said, Mace, you've had more than your fair share of concussions. Now, I've never been in the ring wrestling, but I have played major junior hockey, organized. We're talking with the leagues and the whole bit. You know, on the circuit, on the way to the pros, until my major head injury, which was a double multiple concussion, to go along with a cerebral hemorrhage. which is basically a blood vessel, a major blood vessel ripping open in your brain, bleeding into it, which was, something like that is, well, it's fatal 7 times out of 10. And a lot of people say, well, it's too bad I didn't survive it. Figured I'd get the shot in before you guys have the chance. But, I've had my share of concussions, after getting slammed into the boards or open ice hits and stuff like that. And, you know, back then it was, oh, I got my bell rung, so I have to sit out a couple of shifts. And like you said, Omega, you know, here's a couple aspirin. Wait for a second. We'll just sit you out the rest of the period. You can start play. You can play when the second period comes around. And, it was really not thought of anything too seriously, but fuck, them actually doing this concussion angle, and they're not making fun of it. They're not making light of it. They're pointing out the seriousness of head injuries and saying how bad it is. Don't you think that this is just basically the next step up from the public service announcements where they say, you know, I'm a professional, I trained for years, don't try this?
You know what you want to do if you want to get the message across? Show them the body bags being wheeled out of Chris Benoit's house.
That might be a little bit too far to the extreme. But, they, in anti-smoking commercials on TV, they will show you a picture of a dissected lung of somebody who smoked for 50 years, and you know how black it is.
Good,
like,
good Lord. They just started running commercials like that down here, including one which is just, you're watching Price is Right, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's an open heart surgery going on screen.
And they cut out the vein, and they squeeze it out, and all of this mushy, good-looking and white stuff comes out. So that's plaque buildup from smoking. This guy was a smoker for 40 years. Is that the commercial you're talking about?
I think we're doing different commercials here, but it's still shock factor to scare people out of it.
Essentially similar. That's the one that they show up here. That's one of the ones they show up here. There's a doctor in an operating room, and he says, I'm not an actor, I'm a real doctor, this is a real hospital, and this is real life. We just removed this vein from this man's heart, and he squeezes it out, and all of this white-looking fatty deposits come out the end of the vessel. And he says, this is plaque buildup from years of smoking. To take Spug's thought about, show body bags being rolled out of Benoit's house, again, maybe too extreme, but be graphic and show, show biopsies and bisections of a brain that has been traumatized by numerous concussions. Don't you think that would be extremely effective?
Well, how about you get Muhammad Ali and just have him sit down and try and talk for 5 minutes?
No, there you go. He doesn't
get some of the older people from boxing, from wrestling, that have problems speaking and doing anything because they've had so many concussions over the years.
Yeah.
Hell, I've even noticed stuff myself since I've had the concussions that sometimes I say shit and I can't get the words out, or I can't remember the word I'm thinking of, or something like that.
Yeah, well, I can empathize.
There's problems with this shit.
Yeah. No, I can empathize.
And yours is old age.
Yeah, well, no, it's not old age, smartass. It's from my head injury back when I was 17 years of age. I still suffer the effects from it, and I'm a lot older than 17 now. So, it's not joking or anything else like that. Case in point, my son Owen. He's had about already 5 concussions in his life. And we have noticed, and even Owen has noticed, that he's forgotten simple, basic things that you learn when you're 4 years old and they stick with you for the rest of your life. Like not running out into the street before you look both ways. He used to do that religiously. Now he forgets half the time. And we attribute that well, we're starting to attribute that to all the concussions he's had.
You know, not to be an asshole or a douchebag or whatever you want to call me, but doesn't that speak to parenting when a kid who's under the age of 13 has 5 concussions?
Well, you would think so, but you can't be with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, you cannot go to school with them. And
I would agree with that, but what kind of school is your kid going to where he's getting concussions like
Here's the thing. When he was a little kid, just a toddler, he had his first concussion, and it was a case of he's running around at the daycare. He tripped and he fell, and he smacked his head. Kids trip and fall all the time. One of the things about Owen is he is super, super tall for his age. He's 10 and a half now, and he's going to be as tall as me before he hits the age of 13. The doctors project he's going to be at least 6'5", and maybe even taller than that. Now, in that situation, he's growing extremely fast all the time, and that awkward stage for him is not a case of start, stop, start. He's always been in that awkward stage that kids go through just because he grows so fast. And he's taller, he's going to be taller tomorrow than he was today. He's growing that fast. Yeah, sure, it's just like micrometers, but still, it does make a difference. Also, Owen, like his dad, very, very much into sports, and being very active in sports, plays a lot of them. He's run, you know, like indoor activities at school, sporting activities. He has run into the wall on a couple of occasions. You know, that's contributed to it. I'm not defensive over what you brought up. I can understand what you would say, and you know,
and that's coming from somebody who has a kid. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but how old is your kid?
She'll be 6.
Okay, so you still got 4 years to go to catch up to me. And so I've gone through things with Owen that you haven't gone through things with Madison yet. You will. It's going to happen. And
plus you got to remember, it's almost generational. How many of us sitting here right now didn't go and do things like play football in our various incarnations? You know, how many of us didn't play things like British Bulldog, where you're basically tackling each other as kids to the ground? You know, the amount of sort of roughhousing that you do as kids that lead to these type of situations can't really be accounted for. That's pretty much been called kids being kids. Whereas it comes down to where the whole parenting thing, and, you know, I shouldn't really be saying anything because the best I've got is like a 7-year-old little brother. I don't have a child myself. But we can't exactly wrap kids in bubble wrap. You know, they're going to find some way to roughhouse. They're going to find some way to get a bump on the head or something like that. The only way...
You misunderstand. I'm not saying...
I probably do.
I'm not saying that... Look, as somebody who's had their fair share, I think I've had like 3 or 4 concussions. As somebody who's had their fair share, my whole thing is when Tim said 5 and I know how old Owen is, I went... That's a bit much for someone who's under the age of 13.
Yeah, when you hear a 10-year-old having 5 concussions in his life, you know, alarm bells do go off. And like
that's,
I said,
that's,
you know,
one every 2 years. I mean, you know, that's a lot.
But like I was saying, 6 years ago, I would have said the same thing, and I would have been very militant about that at the same time. And experiences that I've had in the past 6 years have meld my stance on that quite a lot. You know, one of the other things is my son has his very own personal bully that he's had to deal with on a couple of occasions. And the kid has smacked him in the head more than once. And I finally said, look, you know how I feel about physical violence, especially, you know, with you at school and stuff like that. You're going to get in trouble if you deck the kid. But I tell you this right now, don't start any fights. But if they come and they push you, you drop them. Give them a good old uppercut and let them know you're not going to take it and you're not going to stand for it. And I'm telling my son, get a little bit physical when the situation calls for it, so he doesn't get knocked on the noggin anymore. That's the thing. We can sit around here and talk until we're blue in the face and, you know, how bad it is, two shots to the head and getting smacked on the head and all this stuff. 7, 8, 9, and 10-year-old kids don't ever think about that when they get upset and they strike out at the kid that took the red crayon. That never crosses a 10-year-old's mind.
Never crosses their mind when they're playing sports either.
This is true as well. So,
and that's mainly where things like the whole TNA situation come into play, because that's bringing sports into the focus that these can be avoided. We just have to work out how.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between a kid roughhousing at school and going out and playing hockey or playing football or playing, you know, hell, surprisingly enough, you can get a concussion playing tennis of all bloody things. Uh-huh. You know, any sport, there is going to be a degree of physicality where you are going to run the risk of getting a concussion. And that's where the whole TNA thing is coming into it. It's bringing the focus of concussions in sports into question, which hopefully should mean that all these sports that are seeing this are going to turn around and go, oh, okay, we're now understanding what's going on with people's brains when they get a concussion. Let's try and reduce the risk.
Yeah.
And that's been the whole point of this discussion, even though we went 16 miles that way.
There you go. Until you broke in and said what you said, I was just about to bring it right back around to the opening discussion.
You're too bold, man.
There you go. But, Omega, you saying that bringing in real-life situations is not a good idea, and you cited the lover's triangle that involved Lita as an example of things you shouldn't do when you're presenting a wrestling show. And I have to contradict you over something like this, because this is not the same thing. This is something where they could actually get a good message out. Pay attention so you don't get concussions. Reduce the chances of injury.
Well, I understand. I understand that part. But there's a little bit of a situation here where I would hesitate to do it, because it is pro wrestling. No matter how serious the subject, no matter how good the message, there's always going to be that element of, oh, it's pro wrestling. This storyline, that none of it's real. There isn't enough public opinion out there that's positive for pro wrestling for that kind of message to be delivered correctly by them. And well, in a sense, I mean, when the NFL says, okay, minimum this much time off for a concussion, you know, a lot of people take interest in that. When pro wrestling does an angle where, no, you're not wrestling, I'm going to wrestle for you because you've got a concussion, that doesn't do it any favors, and in some cases might even hurt it to make it some kind of storyline spectacle I can't get by this. It's like, I know they mean well, and I agree with the sentiment, but I don't think it's the right battlefield for it.
Okay, yeah, I see your point. Using it as a storyline angle might lessen the impact of the message, is basically what your worry is. Is that a fair assessment, Mace?
Oh, yeah, I could agree with that.
Okay.
But at least it's some form of sport that's actually turning around and saying, okay, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay, wrestling might not be the best outlet for it, but at least it's better than nothing, which is what we've had for God knows how many years.
Yeah, and, with professional wrestling doing this, maybe other sports that people pay more attention to might wind up picking that up. And that would not be the first time that other sports have taken their cue from a professional wrestling federation. It's happened before. It'll happen again. This might be another one of those times. And that being said, everybody, that's the WTR Roundtable. It is now time for the last part of the show. Yay! We call this Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
All right, there it is. There's the intro. The first one up tonight is Omega. Here's your first question of the evening. What is the one wrestling moment you wish you had front row seats to witness?
The one wrestling... Oh, geez. Kind of hard to pick. There's probably a little bit of fanboy going through this for me, and my apologies to the Canadian I'm currently speaking to. But
that's the first.
It's Shawn Michaels coming down on the zip line at WrestleMania. I wish.
You know,
just because. It was the first time they really went big with something like that, so, you know, it's just this little priceless moment, and there's a good chance if I was in the front row, he would have clipped my head.
Some good would have come out of it, then.
You never know.
Lawsuit. There you go. Yeah, okay.
Concussion.
There you go. Spug. And read into... anything you want with this one here. Your first question, what's the greatest upset victory you have ever seen?
In sports? In wrestling? In life? What?
Exactly.
What do you want?
like I said, read what you want. I'm sure that Sir Rockin might have a little directive for you here.
Wrestling. It's a wrestling show.
He didn't specify. He said go wherever you want. So I've got two. I've got two.
As long as one is wrestling.
They're neither of them are wrestling. Screw you.
What are they?
The 2006 Tocito Fiesta Bowl, Boise State versus Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Triple overtime, Boise State win.
Uh-huh.
And the 2003... Actually, take that back. The 2007 Super Bowl, New York Giants versus the New England Patriots. Who were 18-0 going into that game, and afterward they were the all-important 18-1.
Okay, we'll go with that one. Now, pick something from wrestling.
No.
Okay, Mace, your first question tonight. If you were in charge of WWE Creative, who would you have as the champion heading into WWE's biggest show of the year, WrestleMania, and why?
All right, WWE title would be The Miz, only because they're going to throw Cena into the mix for some god unknown reason.
Uh-huh.
And I figure that could be a halfway decent match.
Okay.
On the SmackDown side, this would be a harder one, actually, considering I barely know the SmackDown roster these days. I could actually see Edge hanging on to it until WrestleMania, but as to who his opponent would be, I would not have a clue, because you got to look for a credible heel, and there's not many of those, unless you want to do something stupid like push Alberto Del Rio into the main event, which I could not see happening at all.
so I might have to give a pass to the SmackDown main event because I'm very unfamiliar with what's what on the roster at the moment.
Okay.
However, you will have Cena versus Miz as your Raw title match of WrestleMania.
Alright, who wins?
Cena, obviously.
Who do you want to win?
The little kid in the first row.
There you go, the one with the what's a shock and awe on
the
face.
No, this would be the revenge of Miz Girl. Seriously, she'd be in the front row at ringside. Miz comes down with her slammy that he probably still has after stealing it from her off Raw, shoving that in her face in the title. I want to see her jump the railing, sweep Miz's legs as he's coming off the ropes, and he stumbles into the STFU from Cena and taps like a bitch.
Okay, that'll work. Omega, question number two. Oh, you're going to love this.
Oh, no.
Play the role of Santa Claus. As Santa Claus, give everybody on the network a gift.
Everyone on the network.
Yep.
Do I have to personalize this?
Not overly, just enough.
Just enough. Mm-hmm.
Can we be kind on Omega and just say the people on this show instead of the whole network?
Do I have to get Ab something?
Give him a bag of coal if you want.
Give him some talent.
Hey, that was a good one.
Mace, this is Christmas. This isn't the Wizard of Oz.
That was a good one. Fuck.
Yeah, this isn't a genie in a bottle, for Christ's sake.
Giving mad talent is like asking Lita to not be a whore. It just doesn't happen.
It don't happen, yeah. Okay, Omega, let me help you out, okay? Give something to Mace.
Jeez.
There's a suggestion.
There's
another suggestion.
I probably have to get him a year free of Netflix, knowing his love of really bad TV shows.
Okay. Next up, Spug. Give Spug a gift.
The love of the Christmas season, so he'll be happy and not grumpy.
Again, he's not a miracle worker.
I want something in me wants to give him a beta of the next Warhammer game.
Hooray! I like you already.
There you go. Okay.
I would have gone with a bomb of some description.
Okay, so give something to Rock.
I'm not sure I can. No one ever gives Rock anyway.
Exactly. Everyone gives me a fucking hard time.
So give him a soft
time. I don't give you a hard time. I give it to you nice and slow.
Rock, you're getting earplugs.
Thank you.
There you go. Okay, give something to Will.
That's easy.
Yeah, I want to give him a new computer just so he stops complaining about it all the time.
There you go. You give him a new computer, he'll find something else to complain
when
about.
When he's around, that is.
There you go. Give something to Alan Wojcik.
Alan Wojcik?
Yeah.
Inflection in his voice.
You know what? I'm gonna give him a one-on-one interview with Ben Stein, just because I want to hear what it sounds like.
Okay. Okay.
Oh my God, that was mean.
The next one on your list is Rob from CB Radio. Give him something.
To keep it legal, I'll give him a new, air quote, inhaler.
Okay. Now give something to Ace.
I don't know what to give him.
Put it in a bottle.
Why don't you move on and go to Nick?
All right, give something to Nick.
A decent co-host.
Cool.
Not a miracle worker.
Not something Santa can't do. Actually, I like that idea. That way I don't get messaged every now and then.
Okay. Did you pick something up from Maverick?
You're just putting this off, aren't you?
I'll go with Cindy, because who's Mav? Anyway, Cindy said.
Okay. Give something to Cindy.
I think I've gone over my minute.
Keep going.
God. You know what?
Whatever it is, make sure it's got a vibrating feature.
There's lots of batteries.
I was gonna say a year's supply of D cell batteries.
And since he doesn't want to ask about himself, give a gift to Tim.
Now what to give Tim?
Well, here's a hint. Don't take Tonio's suggestions. That'll just get you bitch slapped.
Hey, I know what you can get, Tim. One of those authentic blow-up doll repair kits that you can buy at the adult shop. He might be able to fix his girlfriend that way.
Yeah, patch up the relationship.
She won't have that unsightly scar in the throat anymore.
You know, I'm pretty sure...
Say, I'm asking for hip replacement surgery?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Keeks wouldn't appreciate you implanting
a chair at all.
She doesn't need a patch repair kit.
Or hip replacement surgery. Or perhaps something to help him get those cataracts fixed.
Yeah, you see, I don't have cataracts. My hips are good.
He's obviously been taking his Centrum Silver.
You know what?
I've spent so much on the rest of the network. I was going to get Tim plenty of Viagra.
Don't eat it.
Instead, no, I'm going to give you a ginkgo biloba so you know what it's like to get fucked. At least you've got your memories.
And should Omega buy himself a gift?
Maybe only for a couple of more years before senility sits in, Omega.
Spud, what's the best gift you've ever received?
I don't know, dude. They're all kind of cool in their own way. Christmas is one of my favorite holidays because I get to see like a lot of my family and stuff that I don't normally see. So, coolest Christmas gift I ever got. I got a drum kit when I was like 14. And that was a lot of fun. I actually learned to play the drums pretty good. So I busted a double bass pedal.
Okay. Mace, out of all the gimmick pay-per-views this year, which one of them has been your favorite? I already know the answer to this one.
The Royal Rumble. I'm always a big fan of the Royal Rumble. It is a gimmick pay-per-view, so fuck you.
Cheap way out.
Hey, I've been a big, big fan of the Royal Rumble for many, many years. And that does not change.
I think Mace just Guerrero'd you.
I think technically his answer is acceptable.
Yeah, fine, whatever.
So
watch the replay, make sure.
There you go. There it is. Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us on a Sunday night, the final Sunday before Christmas. For another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. Don't forget, Tuesday night, Alan Wojcik goes live. He interviews people. check it out, 9 o'clock Eastern. Wednesday night, Otaku Talk Live. 3 of us that are on now get on the air and do some more bullshitting.
Best of.
It's the best of OTL. So if you got an extra 5 minutes, tune in Wednesday night at 9 Eastern.
Dude, it's not even 5. It's more like 3.5.
Something like that.
If you want to hear Omega go ape shit wild, tune in. Best of OTL.
Oh, that was great. I'm going to listen to this for that.
Oh, no. That's worth listening to right there, just for that. So Thursdays, don't forget.
2011. Anything Goes.
Anything Goes is on hiatus until the beginning of the new year. Friday. Now, you know, I got nothing better to do. Have yourselves a Merry Christmas Eve.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Saturday, believe it or not, Christmas Day.
Day night.
TV Radio is going to do a show.
It won't be Christmas Day when they do their show anymore, so it doesn't count.
It will on the
East Coast.
It will on the West Coast. For Mountain Time, actually, Central Time West, when they start, it's still going to be Christmas Day.
Yeah, but their hosts are all on the East Coast, Tim. Doesn't count.
We have a West Coast correspondent, so we fit into that category.
So there you go. Yeah, definitely after you're done with the Christmas cheer and you've had enough of family, because Lord knows you can only have so much of it, tune in to CB Radio around midnight-ish Eastern Time. And next Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern, check out Life is Callous with Johnny Cashmere. Big, huge show, and he's got a whole bunch of big stuff coming up in the next few weeks. But next week, he's going to be talking to somebody involved with the TV show Hoarders. Have you seen Hoarders? You know what I'm talking about?
That show's fucked up.
That is a fucked up show. He's actually going to be talking with, I can't remember her name right off the top of my head, but she's like a psychologist involved with the show, and she's like a major part of the show. So tune in next Sunday, 7 o'clock Eastern, for Life is Callous. And then, of course, WrestleTalk Radio with the December 26th edition next Sunday night at our regular time, 10 o'clock Eastern.
The year-end review show where we cover everything in the world of wrestling for 2010.
Oh, my God. A whole year's worth of wrestling?
Yeah. In 2 hours.
That's going to be a quick trip. Remember? There you go. Yeah.
Shit, we're going to have to pad an hour in 30 minutes.
Pretty much. So, everybody, that's it. I'd like to say happy holidays, and I'm only saying happy holidays because I know some of you aren't Christian. Some of you happen to be Jewish. One or two Muslims tune in on a regular basis.
Boy,
so, I guess the Muslims have gone through Ramadan now. Of course, there's Kwanzaa, Rock, happy Harmonica.
Happy
if you're half Jewish.
Yeah, happy Festivus, Tim.
Yeah, happy festival.
Merry Zodmas to all. You shall all new.
There you go. And for the rest of
you
fuckers,
get that joke.
Have yourselves
kneel before Zod.
Yeah. Have yourselves a merry fucking Christmas. I hope you guys have a great time. Enjoy your family.
Wait, do you even Canadians celebrate Christmas?
Don't be a dumbass.
You don't eat babies or anything on that day?
Rob does.
Robbie's busy, but he's not Canadian, so.
But he still eats babies.
That's no problem, is it?
Seriously, everybody, it's been a fun. It's been a fun year. We've enjoyed all of you showing up and hanging out with us this past year, and we hope that we can do it for another complete year without having a total meltdown. And we hope that you join us for the ride. Who knows where it's going to wind up taking us? But it's all bullshitting aside, it's been fun, and I'm glad that you've been listening to us ramble and bore the fuck out of people for the past year. And I just want to say thank you very much for your support. And seriously, have yourselves all a fantastic Christmas. And I'll be thinking about each and every single one of you come Christmas.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I will. Well, except for Tony, but he's a Minnesota Wild fan. That's why.
So end the show, Tim.
Have yourselves a great night, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Fuck, man!
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.